Okay, I want to open this meeting. It's a workshop that we gave a 24-hour notice on, a workshop on the facial recognition accountability report that the Benton County Sheriff's Office is going to submit as per RCWs. And we're going to have a presentation by Lieutenant Clark, and then we'll open up for discussion amongst us three with the Sheriff's Department. There will be no public comment here, or you're just here for listening. And any other gentlemen, any other things?
No,
okay, with that, we'll turn it over to you.
All right, sure.
Okay, Sheriff, you
thank
want
you
to go first. Sure.
So I just wanted to give a quick opening and explain why we're here. Thank you for being here, gentlemen. We appreciate you coming here and talking with us. What we would like to do is propose our policy to you and give you an opportunity after attending the public meetings and hearing from the public, if there's any changes to the policy that you would like us to implement or to change. And we're going to give you kind of a rundown on the system itself. But first, I'd like to talk about just crime in general in Benton County and the use of technology. So I'm working on an annual report from 2023, and it's very clear that the crime rate in Benton County is going up. The crime rate in Yakima County, Walla Walla County, Adams County, Franklin County, and all the surrounding counties is dropping. And crime rate in Benton County is rising. And there are reasons for that. And with the rise in crime, I have to come up with innovative solutions to combat that crime. And one of the solutions to that is this software that will increase our ability to identify subjects during crimes or crimes that they have committed. And if talking about technology, if you look at just fingerprints alone, fingerprint technology came about in around the 1800s is when they started to look at fingerprints and realize everybody's fingerprint is different. It wasn't until about 1920 that J. Edgar Hoover created a system with the FBI to start a database to record all of fingerprints and make a giant system to where people can be identified through their fingerprints. And that alone has helped solve numerous homicides, burglaries, all kinds of crimes throughout the nation for the last 100 years. With this facial technology recognition, it is basically the same system where you take a fingerprint, you chart it out, you connect dots on the fingerprint of glands and grooves and different things, and you make an algorithm of that information, kind of a map to this fingerprint. The facial recognition that we would like to use is the exact same type of information. It is creating a map to identify a person. Once we have identified someone, whether it be through DNA, whether it be through fingerprints, voice analysis, or facial recognition, or palm prints of any kind, that is the beginning of our investigation to who the suspect is, and it points us in the direction that we go. We don't use that technology, DNA, fingerprints, palm prints. We don't use any of that to go arrest someone. It's a starting point for an investigation. And this facial recognition is the same thing. We are using this as a starting point to point us in the right direction. A while back, a few months ago, we had a burglary. We identified some folks, and it took us 2 months to go through video to identify a potential suspect. In the meantime, we had a homicide in Benton City while we were digging through these videotapes. Had we had this technology, in 2 minutes, we could have possibly identified a suspect rather than 2 months, and we may have been able to prevent a homicide. And I think it's very difficult to say, yeah, we don't want to use that in Benton County. Are we now looking at this archaic systems that have been around hundreds of years and saying, yeah, that's no good? Or are we going to look to the future and say, hey, we have more things on their plate that we can use to drive technology to reduce the crime rate in Benton County? So that's why we've identified this system as something to use, and we're going through the steps to use this information, and Lieutenant Clark is here to provide you with more details on that.
Thank you. So I'm gonna hit on a handful of the points, just like the sheriff kind of spoke to, a little bit more in depth as to why we need this, how this is incorporated into our investigations, our daily policing and some of the crimes that we investigate. So as you guys are aware, Benton County has grown substantially over the last 10, 12 years, one of the fastest growing counties within the state. As most people are aware, as you increase your population, your crime rate is inherently going to increase as well. The number of crimes just go up when you start talking about that population growth. In Washington State, Franklin County and Benton County are a couple of the top two. The reason I bring up Franklin County is because criminals are not bound by jurisdictional borders or county lines, and we are so close to Franklin County and see the constant movement between suspects and criminals between one county to the next county. And so with that tremendous growth is what we see for the increase in numbers of crimes within the two counties.
So I got a question on that real quick. I apologize because I'm a little confused and I want to make sure. So I got to go back because I think the last Law and Justice Council meeting, I was not there, but I'm also talking to different law enforcement officers and sheriff. I'm a little confused because I hear that crime within the counties are starting to go down and not up. And so now I'm hearing conflicting stories. So I'm just being honest with you. I totally understand, respect and say what you're saying, but I'm hearing it from different law enforcement officials as well. So I don't know where that number is. Do you guys have a number we can actually show us?
And I'll get to that. I have some actual physical numbers that show over our years where we've been and what we've been.
That would be great. Let me see it.
So, here's a little bit of, all our crimes, both our violent crimes, property crimes as a whole, they've increased over the same years. There are just some of the percentages. Those are your homicides, robberies, which homicide percentages you have to take with a little bit of a grain of salt because there's not nearly as many. So a few numbers has a large increase in the percentage. But you look at our averages and we see that large increase across the board there. Here's some of the numbers for our crime comparisons. These are nonviolent crimes. One of the big things that we want to look at with this is you have to remember that in solving crimes, it's not just about the violent crimes, the major crimes against persons that we look at. Most people will go their life and not be the victim of a violent assault or a major crime against a person. But at some point in everybody's life, most people are going to become a victim of some sort of a minor crime, a theft, a burglary, anything like that, property crimes, those types of things. And so that's one of the important things that we have to remember is when serving the public, we are not only looking at our violent crimes, we're not only looking at these big ticket items that everybody latches onto, but it's all of our crimes across the board that we serve to our citizens. Some of the numbers, as you can see across the years, how that has increased and changed. You have a little bit of ebb and flow with different years, and it's hard to put a finger on what the cause or effect was for those exact numbers.
Question. So this is just crimes reported to Benton County.
Correct. Yes, this is our specific agency. I can't speak for Kennewick Richland. For some of the other agencies that are within our jurisdiction.
And I think it was Richland that said their crime rate is going down. I think that was what I heard.
Yeah, I wasn't there for. I just heard it a couple different law enforcement officials. So I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you.
So as we look at Clearview AI, one of the important things is it's just an investigative tool, as the sheriff mentioned. We utilize a tremendous amount of investigative tools. Some are technology based. Some are the more traditional old school methods. But every investigation has many different pieces of it in order to complete that investigation, bring charges against somebody, make arrests, and ultimately get to a conviction. As times change, we have more and more technology out there, as in everybody has Ring cameras on their houses, all these different things. We start changing the way we adapt, as the same way with cell phones. And over the years, we've had to change the technology and what we use for investigating into cell phone data, those types of things. Whereas 20 years ago, most people didn't have a cell phone. Now everybody has one. And so we have to change with those times. And with that is the increased number of surveillance cameras. Everybody's got a camera in their hand at all times. And so we see a lot more of photographic evidence of crimes than what you ever did before. With that comes pictures of faces. Non-technology tools that we use, and they go into still every single one of these investigations, is in-person interviews, forensic DNA evidence, physical evidence, anything that may be obtained during search warrants, fingerprints, clothing, evidence of that crime, all these different things that we still use those methods along with these newer technologies. Clearview AI, it is used by law enforcement around the country. It is an after-the-fact investigative tool. It's not live tracking. It doesn't monitor through live feeds or anything like that. It is a photo matching program that allows us to insert a face. It uses its algorithm and its technology to give us back photos off of publicly sourced locations and say, this is what we believe to be a match for that face. And then we have to do the investigative part to go on to the backside of that and figure out and identify who that is. It doesn't store data. It doesn't store personal information. It doesn't tell us who it is. Our detectives, our investigators still have to go back through that. One of the important things to remember is when we use this program, we will require two-person peer review. So when somebody puts it into the program and they get back this photo that says, yes, we believe that this photo matches, we have to have another guy who looks at it as well that also agrees that, yes, this truly matches. It's not just an automatic spit out a receipt and we go arrest somebody. Clearview AI is only used for after the fact, like I said, not live tracking. It doesn't have live tracking capabilities. Our policy states that we won't use it for live tracking, even if it was feasible. And there's total different requirements, even if we were to begin wanting to obtain some sort of live tracking, which we have no interest in doing, nor are we seeking at this point. Clearview is only a small piece of the investigation, like I talked about. This is literally used in the same capacity as we would from a tip from a media post. What this allows us to do, though, is we can input this into a system that our investigators see versus tipping our hand to the suspect that we're looking for them. So in a investigation, maybe where we want evidence or we're trying to identify a person before they're able to flee, destroy the evidence, understand that we are looking for them, we can use this. There's times that we don't know who this person is, and you'll see the posts go up on social media sites where it's a last-ditch effort, and by the time we post it on the internet, that suspect is very well aware between friends, whether they see it themselves, that we are seeking them. We're looking for them. At that point, they're going to go through every effort they can to destroy any evidence that we would have a build a case against them. And so it holds the same weight in our investigation as it would if I put a tip out there and I get a phone call from somebody. Understand that when somebody calls in and says, hey, I think it's so-and-so, that's not the gospel. That's just an avenue and a way for us to start pursuing that maybe this is a possibility. And this program has the same weight in that investigation as we would then. Like I mentioned, Clearview AI doesn't store personal information, simply matches photos and provides detectives with the source that that photos match to. It's only publicly sourced images that are used by Clearview AI. If your social media is private, it doesn't go into there. People actually have the ability to go on there, and if at one point their social media accounts were public and are now private, they can petition to Clearview AI to have their stuff removed from there because now they don't want that information out there. Like I mentioned, it's just an investigative tool. Here's a perfect example. So these people were involved in a vehicle prowl and then used the stolen credit cards to make purchases at Home Depot. Just in these surveillance photos alone, if I plug in their face and it gives me an avenue to pursue down, I have a vehicle that I can look for as well. So maybe it's in the driveway, maybe I'm able to pull a registration, maybe I'm able to do something else to help identify it. I also have clothing that I'm able to corroborate who these people are, obtain a search warrant for that, as well as the evidence that are actually taken. There's all sorts of information in these photos that are used as the total piece of the puzzle and not just plug their face in there and that's who we're arresting. It's a small, small tool of this investigation. In this circumstance here, we sent this out to law enforcement to help try and identify this, these people. The case is still open. We haven't been able to identify them. This is the case that the sheriff actually mentioned earlier. So in this incident here, we had a burglary where over 60 firearms were stolen. During the investigation, they were trying to identify the subjects that were involved in that burglary. During the course of the investigation and the hours into obtaining search warrants for various social media accounts and all the different things that they needed to do for that case, a homicide occurred out in our county where somebody was killed. So the hope with this is that we are able to speed up the process of identification, and instead of hours, days, weeks of looking to identify these people, because again, we don't want to post their information all over social media, because instantaneously, where do you think all 60 guns would go? Our goal is to take those guns back off the street. We don't want them to know that we are seeking them at that moment in time. And so we have to be cautious about how much information we divulge to the entire public for them to see and have those things disappear out on the street. Identification of violent suspects. These guys were involved in a homicide. It took about a month before we were able to identify them. They've been arrested since then, but just another example of the amount of time delay and the possible consequences of not being able to identify somebody as timely as we would like. Property crimes are a major one. Like I mentioned, almost everybody will be the victim of some sort of property crime at some point in their life, in one way or another, or know somebody who is. These two individuals here broke into a building of K-Views, stole about $7,000 worth of items, and they remain unidentified. Again, in this example here, we have a vehicle, we have clothing, we have other things that we can corroborate that evidence with from facial recognition, that it's not just a simple plug and play for there. These are some of the case photos. I bring these up because when I come to you guys today, understand we've had 4 public hearings. And so some of these are to speak to some of the comments that we've had. I'll get into some of the changes that we've made based off of public comment. But one of the major concerns and the things that we hear about all the time is you guys just have terrible photos. Everybody wears a mask and those types of things. Whereas throughout this, you can see these are just a very, very small example of photos that we see. And we have clear photos, clear pictures of people's faces on a very regular basis with a lot of these crimes. And so there are a lot of opportunities, we believe, to identify suspects in crimes and bring justice to those victims. Some of the feedback that we've taken and worked with on changing, we've gone through numerous drafts as far as small changes to the policy. One of the major concerns, or a couple of the major concerns that we've had from the public, is auditing, and another one was fine framing what an outside agency assist would look like and what we were allowed to use. There was concerns for the amount of time that we would spend assisting outside agencies, as well as just willy-nilly anybody who wanted to do it could ask us to do it, because currently right now there's nobody else in the state of Washington with this program. And so we would be one of the first, and there's a fear from our community that we'll just be inundated with this. So inside our policy, we put in there that we will only assist adjacent counties. And the reason for that is, like I mentioned, the suspects aren't bound by county lines. They're not bound by jurisdictional boundaries. And so these are the people that freely move to and from our community and the people that we need to bring justice to. There's many times that we have a crime that occurs in Walla Walla, a shooting, a homicide, any number of other crimes, and they very frequently come to the Tri-Cities. Same thing with Pasco or Kennewick or any of the other outside agencies that obviously those people move freely within the county. So with that, one of the caveats is we will only do it for felony criminal investigations, as opposed to we are allowed for our policy for any criminal investigation, but we will only do outside agency assist for felony criminal investigations. And then all of the community care functions that we have listed in our policy for identifying missing persons, children, people that can't speak, those types of things where we're looking out for the well-being of that person and trying to get them to the people that need them. The audit reports, that was another one as far as making sure that there was auditing of our uses and that the uses were proper. One of the things that we put into the policy for implementation would be quarterly audits we will maintain a log both on our end. So every time that we search somebody, we will have a log that the investigator puts all the information into as to what that search is for, the case number, the date, reason for the search, those types of things. And then Clearview AI also has a log as well for every time that it's used. So quarterly, we'll make sure that those match, that the uses are corresponding with one another. And then the annual audits, one of the big ones that was brought up is if you're going to have an audit, that it should probably be from outside your department. I talked to the auditor's office and they would be more than willing to take that annual audit and compare those logs and make sure that we were willing to do that, or that we were doing that. So that will be a change and an update to our policy is annually we'll kick that over to the auditor's office and they'll audit that log for us. As you guys are aware, any new uses identified, any new things that we wanted to do has to go through this whole process again. And the accountability report has to be redone pursuant to the RCW and everything that you guys are seeing that we're going through here. One of the other things I'll bring up here is the lawsuits. I'm sure that you guys have heard those come up. So the ACLU lawsuit settlement, it was based out of Illinois. It restricted Illinois for 5 years. One of the big things that I think the takeaway from that is, and it was probably good to be completely honest, is the ACLU agreed that this should be only for law enforcement. And they agreed to that settlement for law enforcement use within the whole country.
So on that real quick, Lieutenant Clark, I believe Illinois also, that settlement did not allow, I think it restricted law enforcement.
Correct.
Not to be able to use it within the state for 5 years.
Correct. Illinois has its own state ban within the state pertaining to facial recognition stuff. And the ACLU, that was all part of that. And so, in Illinois, it is 5 years, period.
Yep.
Outside of Illinois, part of this lawsuit and settlement was across the country. It is now for law enforcement use only. Okay. So
that was the Sunglass Hut.
No, Sunglass Hut's a different one.
Yep.
And so the Sunglass Hut lawsuit that has been brought up numerous times is actually a fairly new lawsuit that was brought up. It is, I think, probably one of the important things to understand is the agency, the police agency, isn't named in the lawsuit, and Clearview AI is not party of that lawsuit. Clearview AI had a brief contract with Macy's. They revoked Macy's rights in 2020, and this case occurred in 2022. So not sure exactly what facial recognition software Macy or Sunglass Hut was using at that time, but neither Clearview AI nor the police agency was named in that lawsuit. Another important thing is, go for it.
So this was yesterday at the commission board of commissioners meeting. Rami called in and said, hey, there's these six police officers came and arrested this lady and took her away from her children. Well, that was from this, and the police did not conduct an investigation. They received that information from Sunglass Hut and said, this is your suspect. And they said, oh, let's go get her. There was no investigation. That's completely backwards of what we are going to do. So I don't foresee that being an issue at all.
And I think that's an important point right there is it's not just with facial recognition, right? There are wrongful incarcerations across the country. And whether it involves facial recognition or not, I would put that back on most of the time the police agency. At some point, there was a failure in the system, whether it was lack of investigation, whether it was a skewed investigation, it doesn't matter. I'm not here to debate somebody else's ethics or what they're doing, but I think that's an important thing to understand is there's usually an epic failure at the police agency level that leads to those things. And that's one thing that we strive for, obviously, within our county and within our agency is the thoroughness and the professionalism that our county and the agency has. And under no circumstances do we want to put the wrong person in jail. And we don't take those shortcuts to just throw somebody in jail. We do throw investigations for that exact reason. Also wanting to bring closure and justice to those victims of those crimes as well. So, any questions?
So, in the thing that we approved, that grant had five licenses. Is that how many you're proposing sheriff department personnel to
Correct.
To have access to the system.
Yes, we don't see a need to have everybody have access, nor do we want to incur the cost because each user, it increases the cost of the contract. Right now, the plan is to have one administrator and two users and to use those three for the moment. We'll evaluate from there. I don't know that we'll see a need for more, but that's kind of the plan for the moment at hand. Once we start using it and have a better understanding, that's also a little bit of it is we can't use it because of all the restrictions. There's no trial or anything else. You have to go through this whole process beforehand. And so there's a little bit of it that we have to see what that looks like on the end user side as to whether we would need maybe one more or not. One of the other things, just to make sure, I think you guys are all aware, and just so that we're all on the same page, is we've had our public hearings, public comment period, which pertain to the accountability reports, the policy taken in there, their feedback, implementing it to hopefully find the middle ground and work for what works within our parameters and desire, as well as what the community sees a need for. And then the goal is that once we leave this meeting or shortly thereafter, if you guys have any changes, to do that. And then we start a 90-day public comment period. That 90 days, if at any time we change the policy or the accountability report during that, it starts the clock all over again. And so that was my goal and desire with this, is to get everybody on the same page, make sure if you guys had concerns or comments or anything, that we could work that out in the near future so that we can all get on the same page as we move through that 90 days.
I'll wait. Continue. Oh, okay. So I was quickly going through this, seeing that there was some other license. So talked about the licensing, and Clearview provides training to start off with, and then they also other training for it when you bring more people on. But where's that section? Oh, on outside agency.
Yep.
Now, do you envision some kind of like a form to be submitted by them? Or is this just going to be a thing over the phone? Hey, will you guys, I'm going to email you some pictures. Will you search it for me?
So essentially what I believe would happen is they're going to have to give some information about the case to one of our investigators who is the user there, because the important thing with the outside agencies is the whole reason for the request and them coming through us is it has, for us to use it, it has to conform to our policy and our requirements and everything else. And so we have to be able to make sure that we can say that this is the crime, this is what we're investigating, these are the things, these are the circumstances behind it, and it conforms to within that. And then they will send a photo over and he will plug that into the system and see what response we get out of that.
Is there a record kept then somehow?
Yes.
So when we use the system, we create a record that says on this date, we're investigating this case number for this reason. That would go right in that record and say we're assisting Kennewick Police with case number such and such. And we'd have to write a supplement to that report. So it's all going to be documented.
Okay.
So just like Triple I, you keep a log. Right. Okay, we run in Triple I.
Right.
We're going to keep that same type of log where you create that log, you write down, hey, I ran this report this day, and this is the case number associated with it.
We on the annual audit, well, quarterly, you're going to do quarterly.
We'll have quarterly and annual.
In the auditor's office, are they going to be just checking on entries, what's logged in, and then what the report comes back from AI, Clearview AI?
Part of the major part of the audit report is making sure that we have our reasons, so our log for each reason, which will dictate the crime, the reason, make sure that it conforms to what we're doing. And then you have Clearview AI that says this is how many times a search was done by your agency. Obviously, what we're looking for is that they match, because what we don't want is a Clearview AI to come back and say, hey, we had a search here with no log here, and now we need to figure out the reason for that. Because that's where obviously the concern is that somebody would do a search that was inappropriate. And so that's what that audit report is. During the quarterly checks with the admin, that gives the opportunity for them to spot check what that case was. And so you can grab one of those. Okay, that was a burglary, and they were looking for this suspect with this photo, because in that case, we'll have those photos and everything that we did for that search.
Then with that audit, is that something that can be, I guess, published in the community somehow, or something they can see? You know, maybe it doesn't, you know, they're not going to give, you know, name ID and that kind of stuff, but at least what type of cases can a report be generated so the public knows if this goes into effect, what, you know, what type of cases it's being used for, how much is, you know, and that type of thing. And was, you know, there was results from that search? Or,
yep. And that was one of the things that we discussed, is essentially like a transparency portal type thing that you would see on our website, where we could post. Obviously, it wouldn't have all the information, sure, just sure, like right. You talked about, but it could show the number of uses, and we would have to weed through what information exactly we would want.
The just audit, basic stuff like right, type of cases.
It could be set up just like the jail roster.
Yeah.
Who's in the jail, who got booked into the jail.
Right,
so
right.
Just
right.
Put that like form that. Right in there. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So there's something. And then, but, yeah, okay. I'll stop.
You want to go?
Oh, you're going to make me go first. Oh,
you'll
piggyback on it. So you got a whole page of notes.
And I have to apologize. When you guys were talking, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I was just writing notes down. I've been running the last couple of days pretty hard. I know we're trying to get this together yesterday morning for today. And we actually ran from, we had to go to that meeting that we were in. It was an important one. So I'm going to be kind of all over the board a little bit. But I'm going to ask a bunch of different questions, and I think it's important so that you know, and as that we ask questions and stuff, you're going to get a tip. I think you want a temperature check too. You're kind of wanting to read us and see where we're at individually, and so I'm going to be. I want to let you know, because I do support law enforcement. I do care about this. It's important to me. But my first question is, I just thought of right before I asked all these, why Benton County? Why not Yakima County? Why not Franklin County? Why not any other county? Why not Kennewick? Why not Richland? Why Benton County?
The honest answer?
Yeah.
Because we work for Benton County, and that's who I work for, and we're looking to solve our crimes.
Okay.
We're always looking to bring in new ways to help us solve crimes and bring justice to those in our community. I don't work for anybody else.
Yeah. Good answer.
And on that point, yeah. I can say, since being the sheriff, I watch Facebook posts and media posts, and I see shootings in Kennewick, and I hear these comments or see these comments that say, it's getting to be like Yakima around here.
Yeah.
That really eats at me.
Yeah.
And I think, what can we do to clear that up? What can we do to make this place better? And it's not just this. There's a lot of different avenues that we're looking at to get a better grip on crime. And this is just one of those pieces that we're looking at that we can expedite investigations. Well, of course, we're gonna try to use it.
Yeah. So. And Sheriff Cross, one thing I know about you is you are passionate about that. So everything you said, I know is 100%. I totally support you on that. So here's a couple of my questions on here. We live in Washington State. I was in two of the public hearings that you had, and I was trying to sit in the back, just wanting to listen. And I heard both sides. I didn't care if you were an independent Republican or Democrat or whatever. I heard all sides of it. And I think the second meeting, the last meeting, was a lot of the same people as the meeting before that, a little different, but yeah. And a lot of them were very nervous about privacy concerns and the First Amendment and all those type of things like that. So I got it. And I think we had a dialogue, and I said, you know, you're going to hear something I'm going to hear because you have that star on there. Everybody's going to be nice to you because they're going to tell you the good things. I can go to the grocery store. I can go to a restaurant. I'm going to go anywhere. I will be stuck in Costco. My wife will get irritated at me because someone's going to grab me and ask me a question or give me their opinion because I'm not wearing that star. They're going to tell me. And so I've heard a lot of concerns on that. My biggest thing is a question is usually when we did this at the city, and I'm used to a lot of workshops, we have staff here. So I'm going to point at one of our deputy administrators. And what is the amount of our risk pool? You know, when it comes to an insurance side, is it 20? What is it, 25 million? What is the amount? Do you know?
The maximum insurance coverage is 20 million.
20 million, okay. So no matter what, we're going to have litigation. It doesn't matter if you're in a city or county, litigation is going to be there. But I am concerned about the liability section, and I've expressed that before a few times. I'm good with the technology. I'm a little nervous about it as far as what I'm hearing about the community. But my biggest thing is liability. We have a lot of liability, a lot of litigation going on that exceeds our risk pool and how much our insurance is right now. It exceeds it. Mm-hmm. And I look at this and I'm thinking on the risk side of it, like I said, we have litigation. It's not typical for a county our size. It's like driving a car and you're redlining it. We're the red line when it comes to litigation and dollar amount for our risk pool. It's not if we're going to get sued, it's when we're going to get sued. And when we get sued, it's not going to be typically Ryan Brown, our civil attorney, and our PA handling it potentially. Potentially, if it's frivolous, but if it's not, we're going to hire some high dollar attorney that's outside, that's in their spectrum or wheelhouse. It could cost us a couple hundred thousand dollars to several million dollars because we're in Washington State. And I'm not saying Bitcoin, I'm saying Washington State. We will be a target. You are number one on that. And if we're already exceeding what our risk amount is, the liability, we're going to lay another layer on that. And that's what's concerning to me. If that happens, depending on what that litigation is, here in the next year or so, we could potentially be out of that risk pool. And we don't have insurance. And then we're going to have to self-insure. And guess what that means? That means that taxpayers are going to have to, we're going to have to increase taxes to pay for that self-insurance or being self-insured or go to another risk pool. And I think, Matt, we talked about that. And we do that, it could be astronomical to the county, detrimental to the county. And so that concerns me on the liability side. Because like I said, if you put the pedal to the metal per se and you're redlining, you put one extra bit in there, you're going to blow an engine. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see that come down from the red into the yellow a little bit more. Things are going to be ironed out in another year or so. So I'm looking at all those different options. I asked why Benton County on that. And so the liability is a big one for me. Clearview is, as far as the expense, I really don't care. It's nominal. It's cheap. They're giving it to you cheap. Have mortgage banking software way more expensive than that. We have to renew on an annual basis. They're doing that for a reason. We're wanting different law enforcement agencies to take this on, but it also adds risk in the liability side. So I'm being 100% honest with you. That was my biggest thing there. I'd like to see, I know in the third meeting you were taught, someone had asked you, Lieutenant Clark, and I think Commander Kanji, it was a question was, would you share this technology in neighboring cities and stuff? And you answered yes. The fourth meeting we had, when I was sitting in the back, the question was asked, and you said you would help neighboring counties, which takes it out to Walla Walla County, Franklin County, Yakima County, all the cities within the county, which increases that liability even more to us. And so now you can kind of see my concern. Mm-hmm. Do I like the capability of getting a bad guy in quicker and reducing man hours to get that person? Yes, when those times come up. But right now, where do we draw that line at? Especially, I think you probably heard me. Maybe heard you. I know you talked to Sheriff Raymond as well.
Yes.
And I made a comment on Tuesday that they're in a $7.5 million deficit when it comes to law enforcement and the court system. Well, guess what? I brought that up yesterday for a reason. We could be in there. I'm looking at the financials and we had that finance manager out there in the back, and we're discussing that. We're going to be in that same area. If we don't have a little bit of pain now, we're going to be in a lot of pain later. So once again, risk, the cost, I would like to see if we disallow that. And that's why I said, why Benton County, and you gave an excellent answer, Lucina Clark, but I'd like to go ahead and see that where we maybe have interlocal agreements. If we had interlocal agreements, that would take a lot less stress off my side. And so if Kennewick wanted that, Richland wanted that.
That's certainly something we can add in there. That's easy.
If they're willing to do that and actually pony up and come into a liability section, that would kind of maybe ease that off. But until that time, I'm uncomfortable. We're in that red line, and I want to be 100% straight with all four of you that are sitting here right now.
Yeah, we can easily add that right to our policies and create that interlocal agreement.
If they're willing to pony up,
yes.
Well, and
the risk assessment.
But that's one thing that's on them at that point, right?
Yeah. So it is.
Well, we're already named crime. In the lawsuit.
Correct. And one of the other things to remember with the liability is California has it. Other states have it, both on the liberal side and the conservative side of the world. And it is very, very small of anybody being named in lawsuits or being sued over the use of this. We're not the first one in the country by any means. I can't tell you how many have it because probably good for Clearview AI is they don't share their customer list with other people. And I can respect that, but we do know that there are agencies. We do know for a fact there's agencies down in California. We pulled a model policy from one of the agencies down there for that reason, because I figured they are probably more open to being similar to Washington when it comes to lawsuits and those types of things around this stuff. And so we looked at a lot of their policy to make sure that ours was kind of along the same lines.
And that's probably where we'll probably agree to disagree a little bit. Like I said, because the software is so cheap, they're giving it away. And they're giving it away for a reason. And I know that on the business standpoint. You know, I've done too much in the financial private sector with big corporations and stuff. They're giving it away. And they're wanting law enforcement to use it. And I'm just being, once again, I want to be straight up with all you guys because I think it's an important thing to do. So at that point in time, once again, that's what we have to look at on our side. How much risk are we willing to take? I'm willing to take risk and litigation. I've been doing this my seventh year, and I get it. Private sector, public sector, seven going on 7 years, I get it. But we're in that red line right now. We're atypical for the number and the dollar amount and litigation we have. And so I'm going to look at it. Am I against it? Not necessarily no, but timing is everything. It is. And so what happens a year from now to 2 years from now, I don't know. And if we're going to have interlocal agreements with Kenner and Richland, I really want to know that they're going to pony up. And is that a potential on that? Do you guys know if we had an interlocal agreement? I knew you were going to come up, Matt, because I was going to bring you in. If we have an interlocal agreement, can we do that? And then it's up to the cities and the counties to decide if we're going to do it or not.
Really, I mean, probably the attorney, but I mean, we have interlocal agreements that do assign liability for certain activities, and those agencies have to indemnify us and hold us harmless for that. And so
okay.
I would say that this would probably be a good idea to do that, because I know Lieutenant Clark pointed out different states and stuff. One thing that's unique about Washington State compared to those is our state has the wonderful joint and several liability clauses, which means if we are even found some minor percent responsible, we can pay the whole cost of any of that. And so I think that would be good, that if we want to have these partnerships and these other agencies and use it, that we have a thing that brings them, like you said, to the table, and they've got to have a dog in the fight for it. So,
and I think we do that on a region. I think on a law justice council meeting, I know undersheriff Law was on one of the last ones I was on, and I talked about having, you know, more robust public safety system and doing on a regional basis within the cities, within the county. And if you guys want to be the ministers of doing it and everybody agrees to agree, so be it. But I think that's probably going to take that. What do you think on that? I have two attorneys over there that are really listening to all this.
We can also take the hard line approach and say, sorry, we can't help you. That is an option.
Yeah.
We just shut it off and say, get your own system. Go through this process yourself.
Well, like I said, there's two scenarios. One is we're going to take on liability if we take it on now,
right,
which we are exceeding. We would be potentially, we are exceeding our cap on our risk pool insurance. That's public. Mm-hmm. And so what do we wait? Do we wait until we see some of those cases wherever they land and then see where we're at with our risk pool? So that's my concern. That's probably the biggest concern I have. And then two is if we had interlocal agreements, it probably make me feel better. But that, once again, timing is everything. And I want to make sure that I'm being very, very transparent to all of you, because I respect you guys all and all the time you guys have put on the evenings and how many questions you guys had to answer and stuff, and all the patience you guys had.
Yeah, but it's certainly an option if the three of you want to just say no outside agencies. That's done.
Yeah,
makes me feel.
Yeah, that would be perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, that takes away the liability from other counties, but it still takes on a huge liability at the beginning here until some of that stuff is resolved.
Mm-hmm. So I guess just a couple of things. I brought up the last commissioner meeting. So is that KBU slide you showed, is that in city limits or is that in the county?
That was up on drop off, Joe.
Okay. Because I guess I'm just concerned with me. I brought it up in the meeting, but last time with me driving around town everywhere. I'm seeing a deputy pull over a guy on Southridge Boulevard, a kid. You know, I'm like, so with this Clearview thing, is this going to be just county, or is this also going to be inside city limits then?
It depends on if you
guys. So yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Because that depends.
Yeah.
If you want it to be, it can be. If you don't want it to be, just say the word and we'll just restrict it.
And again, the outside agencies, barring the conversation about liability, just side that for a second, is even if we were to do it, Clearview only allows 5 per agency per month because they don't want us obviously skewing the system and just doing one for the entire region and doing all, everybody's work for them. So from a business side of things, that's what they limit it to as well.
So you need 5... use it 5 times a month.
Not us. No. Outside agencies can only make a request. Yakima right.
See, that was my other concern.
Yes.
Too,
is, so again, Kennewick can't come to us and give us 100 of them for every single case that they have. And we can't have some backdoor agreement with them wanting to do that. So one, the amount of times that we could use it would be limited anyways by both on Clearview's end and also by our budgetary constraints, our time, our manpower and everything else. With that, now, if we didn't have any outside agency assists, then it would only be for anything that falls inside the unincorporated Benton County, which is our jurisdiction. Anything inside the city limits of Kennewick, Richland, West Richland, or anything like that would fall on their agency. It's their case, their report.
So on the auditing part, you're saying you'd bring out an outside agency to be basically running this program? Is that I'm sensing that concern of...
No. So... Okay. You mean if we do an outside agency request?
No, not outside agency. Okay. Sorry. So whether it's someone that's in the sheriff's department or is it someone that we bring outside, like hire externally that's working on this review and, you know, stuff to say, oh, it's because I've heard multiple concerns about, say you have a deputy that's using this and then they're just nonchalantly using the program to find, oh, Commissioner Alvarez is over here, you know, that type of stuff, basically illegally using it. So how do we protect the county with, you know, the audit, or do we bring someone from the outside to be operating this program instead of someone inside the sheriff's department?
So that's where, and that was one of the concerns that was actually brought up during the public comment and in talking to those individuals over, they actually attended all 4 of the meetings. And so we've had a lot of conversation with at least the people that we were talking to about the auditing stuff, is they had the same concerns for taking it outside of the department, that a third party or somebody outside the department, if you're going to have an audit. And so that's where we went to the auditor's office and asked them if they would be willing to do that. And so the auditor's office would be that neutral party that would audit our reports. And then obviously if that were the case, then we would have all sorts of other problems as far as, you know, the possibility of somebody committing crimes and stalking or anything like that, and that would have to be dealt with accordingly.
Josie gets audits done on her employees' access to the system because they're restricted access.
She gets
reports that, you know, so-and-so was accessing this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's fired people for that.
Okay. Yeah, privileged access is nothing new for our office, obviously, with all the different programs.
Audits can be done.
If we only have 5 people using the system, there's not going to be random guys like, hey, check this out. Right. No, that doesn't happen. And if it does, they're going to get fired, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
There's no chance.
Oh, yeah. So, two more. I got a couple more questions as we go. You good with it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, we talked about Sunglass Hut, and I think that's one where they had some police officers that probably did not a good job.
But let's put it that way. Be honest.
From what we're hearing. Yep. Yeah. And so, let's say a neighboring county, and I'm not going to say the county or what city within the county, but let's say a neighboring county decided, hey, they arrested this person. And they say, Sheriff, you know, we'd like you to use the AI on it. And then it finds out with some type of frivolous, they didn't do a good job, right? Is that a potential for a lawsuit? And that's something down the road you guys can talk to us about. Is that a potential to put us in liability because of what that, give an example with the Sunglass Hut thing to a degree, where a neighboring county or city did something wrong when they arrested somebody they requested it. The sheriff, you know, honored the AI thing. And then there is, it becomes a lawsuit because of a poor police work, per se.
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Yeah, no, I was going to ask you to come up anyway. Sure. Just give your thoughts on this.
Sure. So I think it's important to know that we have deputies in my office that are assigned to sheriff's office teams, like the PROAC team. I meet with their detectives regularly, along with my chief and my assistant chief. We just met yesterday. And we're usually brought in before big decisions are made on homicide cases or significant cases where this type of technology would be used. This is not the type of technology that you're going to use on small, you know, infraction, misdemeanor, low-level stuff. So when we're brought in, we're often involved, not all the time, but we're very often involved in conversations about what's happening in the course of the investigation. And that's just and obviously there's conversations that their detectives are going to have with their direct supervisor, which is Sergeant Gonzalez, who's in the back of the courtroom or the back of the room here. So there are some built-in sort of checks and balances. If we're dealing with a county-specific investigation and county use of the technology. Now, I suppose if you're conducting an assist for another agency, maybe there's a need to have some communication about, you know, how is this, you know, if we do this for you, how is this information going to be used to ensure that we're not being pulled into a lawsuit? I think that there is some check and balance based on the limited number of times that can happen. That's not that significant. Normally, there's cross-agency communications that occur, right? Normally, if Benton County is assisting with some component of an outside agency's investigation, there's going to be a conversation that's had with that other agency. So those things allow for some checks and balances to prevent problems from occurring. Is it possible that nonetheless that there's a lawsuit? To your point, Commissioner Alvarez, lawsuits, yes, lawsuits are going to happen. Does it strike me as a relatively low risk of a lawsuit against the county for an investigation? Yes, I think the risk is pretty low, especially counterbalanced against the significant improvement that we can have to fight crime here.
So
this
I'm
going to
put you on the spot.
Sure.
Put you on the spot.
I'm used to it.
I know. You put me on the spot, we'll do it for good. So are you willing to go ahead? Like I said, there's a lawsuit. We're I know that's not your realm, but we're exceeding our threshold for our insurance side of it with all the litigation we have. We're exceeding it. And we put this on it. Would you feel comfortable putting your stamp of approval on it when we get a major potential lawsuit of millions of dollars and going to the taxpayers and say, hey, now we're going to have to increase your tax to go ahead and offset the litigation. And now we have to self-insure, or we're going to have to go to this potential other risk pool that's going to cost us a gazillion dollars, because it will. Because our risk pool is going to say you've exceeded it, and now we don't want you there no more. We can't have you. We can't afford to have you anymore. And that's happened. Is that correct, Matt? Has that happened in the past, where maybe a county or someone's been pushed out of a risk pool?
I think only one county has been pushed out, to my knowledge.
But we're exceeding that now, right?
We are.
That's my concern.
Our liabilities now are.
And so I don't want to put citizens that pay hard money right now, taxpayers' money, on the line. We have so much litigation in there. It's not atypical for a county. In a year from now, Sheriff, or 2 years from now, as soon as we can, if we can reduce that down, yes. That's what in a local agreement, so I feel a little bit better about that. I'm just having to, I'm working this through, because I know you have 90 days, right? If we have to, it comes up to us or whatever. So I want to let you know. So I just want to let you know my temperature check, and maybe we can have another discussion later. Maybe make me feel better on it. But those are the concerns that I'm going to have to face. People in the county, in the cities within the county, every time I go somewhere, and I got to make sure I'm responsible for taking care of that we're using our money the right way. I'm not against the technology. I'm just looking at the cost.
Potential.
Potential, yeah.
Well, I serve on the county insurance board, right?
Yeah.
Several years ago, we were losing our butts, so we had to kick some counties off the insurance board.
There you go.
It never cost us a lot, too much money for the rest of the year. But I was going to bring you up anyway, because I would just, do you have any comments generally on this topic? do you hear from other prosecuting attorneys? Or just, you know, what are your thinking along this technology?
I think that this is a great opportunity to fight crime in our county. I think that there are some things that can be put in place in terms of the use of the technology, and particularly, you know, requiring corroboration by the detectives that this really is a good identification. This is not just acting on the technology matching up the identifications. There's got to be a couple of real-time detectives that are confirming, yes, this is actually who we think that it is, and here's all the reasons why. And it's based on all these additional factors, like Lieutenant Clark mentioned, maybe clothing that matches information that was learned, maybe all sorts of other details. I think that the likelihood of litigation against the county based on a misuse of this is where damages are sought is relatively low if the technology is used appropriately. I think Commissioner Alvarez, your concern about where do we stand obviously with the risk pool, I think that's has to be something that you think about, because losing our position with the risk pool would be
detrimental.
Absolutely. I would say, maybe just to add on what Mr. Rasmussen said, you know, when we're dealing with an interlocal agreement that apportions liability among counties and cities, I would expect that there would be, even if there was a 1% joint and several liability determination, there's what's called contribution, right? So ultimately, if you have parties that have the ability to pay, if Benton County is tagged with 1% fault, you have other agencies, other jurisdictions that are going to be responsible for their percentage of the proportion of fault because they have the ability to pay. Where joint and several liability becomes a problem is if you have other parties who are unable to pay. And we deal with that often, right? You might have a situation where the county has only a very small percentage of liability and some other person who just has no financial means has the vast majority of liability. And that's where we get hit with the big lawsuits. This would not be one of those situations because you're dealing with the city of Richland, the city of Kennewick, or whoever were to sign on to that kind of
interlocal. They're all there. The cities of, you know, like Wasac or whatever, you know, we're all going to be in there with the risk pool management. So that's where the interlocal agreement would be. That's why I was bringing it up, letting you guys know.
And that's a simple fix, I think. I mean, we, like everybody has mentioned, we have interlocal agreements for a whole variety of things with all our regional task force, all our regional things that we do with these other agencies. And so that's a simple cure. And again, it puts them on whether they want to be part of this or not. If they don't, that's their prerogative at that point and don't ask for our help. But if they want that ability to have that help, then they have to understand that they sign on to this. And so I think that's fair.
We reached out to the risk pool.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember what their comments were. Was it like run?
No, their comments weren't. Their comments weren't run. They had a couple, we talked to a couple of different people there, and their one gentleman is a former law enforcement officer, and he definitely saw the value in doing something like this. They really couldn't give us they're not going to give us a hard fast answer because we're in the first in Washington state. And so there's no ability for them to compare what the risk might be for us. They kind of agreed with what Mr. Eisinger is saying, though, is the risk is probably relatively low because especially if you have a solid policy and that policy is followed. And I think so they didn't, because that's what we wanted to hear from them is, hey, what do you guys think? Is this going to be all?
Yeah, the thing they said is the experience rating would go up, our premiums would go up if there is anything. But I think, like I said,
it's not going to be a direct result of the implementation of the software. I mean, if there were claims paid, then obviously that's how insurance works.
We just need to tighten it up, and I think that's all going to be
met. Does they have to, under the state law, they have to submit, you know, when they submit the report to you, they have to, you know, notify you, prosecutor, that this technology was used in the case.
Right. And that's in the policy.
Yeah, that's in the policy. And then it has to, I think, stay like that. It's, it has, it, has to be given to the defense in that.
Yeah, correct. If we identify a suspect using this, it has to be part of the case and presented to the prosecutor as known. Yes.
Access to all the evidence. Uh-huh. Disclosure. But when you said, you know, if we're kind of uncomfortable with outside agencies, maybe even having access. In there, you said it has to be a felony crime. But in your permissible use for you, the county, it just says identifying suspects in a crime.
Correct.
Was that purposely?
Purposely done. Purposely out? Done that way. So ours is any crime, because we may have circumstances where we have a rash of what would be considered a misdemeanor crimes, but it is
like a bunch of
Vehicle prowls,
thefts off of porches. Imagine an entire neighborhood in Riata being vandalized, or these problems, right, where these individual crimes are all misdemeanors and each one we're investigating. But we have crystal clear photos of these people on Ring cameras. We want to be able to bring justice to that community out there, and it may be a minor crime, but nonetheless, we want to be able to bring justice to those people. And so we don't want to handcuff ourselves in what our uses can be and say your victimizing is not important enough for us to use this technology.
But outside of the felony only.
Correct.
You think that's viable?
Correct.
Option. But you're willing to say no to that. But it gives us too much consternation at the start of this.
The only thing with that, and one of the main reasons that we wanted outside agency stuff in there, is we also don't want to paint ourselves into a corner to where we can't help the public when we need to. And I've used this a couple of times, is the Fred Meyer shooter. That is a Richland incident. I can't use that. We have him on surveillance camera. We can't count for ourselves to where we don't have that ability. I can't do that. What happens when he goes into a Benton County school?
That's all I agree.
So that's why we're, I don't want to say hesitant, why we want it there and what the desire is there. It's really easy to be selfish and say we don't care about any other agency, but it's really hard to say we don't care about the community as a whole. And so we do want that ability.
I think that would be more liability for us if we could say, well, we could have identified that guy in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
We didn't, because the policy didn't allow it. Anyone killed people at a school. That's, I think, more liability. Failure to act would be a bigger loss.
So with
that said, though, too, the thought just popped in my head, like, I agree, like, this system, I think, would be amazing, but it's just the liability we talked about 100 times right now. Is it worth kind of just not being the first jurisdiction in the Tri-City, like, in Washington State, and maybe waiting to see what some other counties are thinking of, or other jurisdictions, or other areas in other states, just to get...
So other states have it. And the last lawsuit for a law enforcement agency that even involved a law enforcement agency was in 2020.
In 2020,
okay. With Clearview.
Seattle is taking a position. You know, King County.
Correct. Seattle, San Francisco, Portland, and people keep bringing that up. And with all due respect, their policies and policing don't always align with what we want to do.
Sure.
And what our desire is from our agency. And so I take that with a grain of salt, that if Seattle doesn't want their police using this, that doesn't necessarily reflect that that's something that we don't want to do, because we've seen decisions within those cities that don't necessarily reflect what we want to do in our communities.
So what I hear a lot is, once again, privacy issues, First Amendment. It doesn't matter what political belief you are, you know, it doesn't matter if you're red, white, and blue, it doesn't matter. That's a big concern. The other one is, once again, last thing I'm going to say is liability and timing. Yeah, we're in that red line. I don't want to break that red line. I don't care if it's $1 million or two. We just went ahead and did a 1% levy tax, and we got hammered. That's $270,000 spread over 210,000 residents, and everybody seemed that was a lot of money. Well, this is going to cost a lot more money if it's $400,000 to represent, or $3 million. And so timing is everything. As we're starting to go through some cases, and cases are being worked through, maybe a year from now. So I'm looking at that timing and in our local agreements. That's my take on it. I can't speak for the other two, but those are my two big things before I can consider it.
So do we need to write that in the policy so we have the 90 days? Do we have to make a decision on that and say this is the policy?
So, yeah. So anytime the policy is adjusted between now and the end, it restarts the clock for 90 days.
Can I ask a question? You mentioned the privacy piece, and I don't understand exactly how this operates because I've heard different ways. And so I think my understanding is put a photo into the software, it's going to give you photos. It's not going to give you the names of the people in those photos. So correct. You're still going to have to go to whoever you can talk to and say, who is this person? They're not going to pull down their Facebook
profile. No, it does not. It does not hold any information. It literally gives you a photo and tells you what that source is. And so then we have to go back and do the investigative part to figure out where that photo is and who that belongs to. And the other thing with it is, again, on the privacy part, is these are publicly sourced photos.
Yeah.
If you and I had the time to do it, it's no photo that we couldn't find on the internet.
Right. So that's, I guess that was where I would look at it. Yep. On the privacy side, they're already going to do that process. It makes it automated instead of manual.
So I could Google your name and find photos of you on the internet without this software.
Right.
This software just makes it easier and faster to do.
Yeah. So they bring you other pictures and they say, look on Facebook, look on Instagram.
Yeah, it gives you the source for where that photo came from, and then you can go back and look.
They don't give you a name, though.
Oh, no. There's no information attached to it whatsoever. It's just the source of the photo from where it came from.
That's why I got off all that stuff.
Yeah, it may be an article from Tri-City Herald. It may be, you in a parade or something to that effect, and it's just going to give us a source that it was the Tri-City Herald. Yeah. So then I would have to go back and start looking for where that came from, the article, and find maybe that Will McKay was in this parade today. Yeah. Oh, okay. Now I know.
You in a parade?
Once.
When I first heard about this, I've learned over the years to trust my gut. My gut said no. I mean, this is just Big Brother type stuff. I understand technology and technology evolves, but now we're in the AI world, where a lot of discussion about some of the AI programs that are being developed out there that really it depends on who's creating that program and the result you get. So, I'm not saying this technology, but my gut reaction is, it's just one more little intrusion into what little privacy we have left in this world now. Like I said, that's what, when I started, I just got off Facebook and, I never had Instagram or Twitter or any of that stuff. It's not because of my age.
I didn't say
it's just, I just didn't want to spend time doing that stuff, right? You have other stuff to do. But, and meeting with that presentation you had with Clearview, that certainly helped a little bit, but I'm still at that. I just don't know if I'm ready to tip over yet. I'm getting the sense from Commissioner Alvarez that he's not ready to go there yet. Maybe, I don't know. We'd have to take an action on this.
We're not making today.
But we're going to have to. So, I want to make sure that if it's brought before us that we're all on board with it. Mm-hmm. I don't want a 2-1 vote or anything like that, because I think we should be unified in whatever our decision is on this. So I'm not asking that for now.
Yeah, one thing to keep in mind, it says AI, artificial intelligence. It's not creating any new features.
Yeah.
It's just matching a photo with another pre-existing photo.
So it's older AI.
Yeah, it's not changing someone's face to make it look like someone else. It's
no, just I get
a photograph and it matches another photograph.
Right. No, I get that. It's older.
Yes.
Using that.
Can I ask one more question? I promise it's not about liability or insurance or any of that stuff. Give me an example. Let's say there was a shooting and you were able to get a picture off one of the intersections, whatever, of a potential person. At that time, how does that process? How's your process work from when you get it? Let's say a deputy was there to, how is it going to go to your office? What's that process? How do you work through it?
So
just an example, if you can, pretty briefly.
No, and it's tough to narrow it down to say exactly this because every circumstance is different. In some capacity, the detective at the office is going to get that photo. whether it is their case that they're following up on, and we're, like we said, we're days after, or if it's something that is literally, and again, I use it all the time, the Fred Meyer shooting, mm-hmm. to where if it was something that quick, we may simply just email it back to them and let them run that through the system or to that person. So
one of those end users that has that.
Yes, because we're only talking about a couple guys. So then we get it to them, they plug it in, and now they start doing the investigative work on it. Obviously, depending upon what that crime looks like, where you have the extreme on one end or just a burglary that we're following up, how much manpower we're putting into digging up who that person is once we get those photo matches, right? The Fred Meyer shooter, for example, I can probably guarantee you that all six of our detectives is going to start running down the rabbit hole of trying to identify, because again, we don't get a name, but identifying who this person is, because the moment that we do identify who they are through those investigative ways, is now we can track down where do they live, where are they at, through all our normal means of what we're doing, and then go into the process of apprehending that person. Obviously, there's a lot of other things that we can do and use for trying to locate those people at that point and prevent anything further.
I appreciate it. And then I got one more. I want a temperature check. We don't get a talk. We're not, you know, it's not like I'm on a city council where there's seven. Yeah, there's seven of us. I know what happened. Matt, where are you at on the liability side? I'm just kind of curious. Where are you at a little bit?
My big thing is making sure it's all our T's are crossed and I's are dotted, because that's the biggest thing is, and I get it, like listening, like doing the presentation up front was really good, like 3 months ago, whenever we did it. But then, you know, talking to the community and hearing the concerns, but now listening to you guys, I do see to where as long as we have the right people in there doing it correctly, we're not going to have a lawsuit. But I want to make sure that we have, okay, say we have three detectives on it, we still have sheriff or someone else on top of those detectives, making sure we're doing it right. Because that, again, like you said a million times, liability. That's my biggest concern. But I do see how it speeds up the process, especially what was their annual, it was like 6,000 or was it 8,000?
7,000.
For the cost for us, it's like $7,500.
It's cheap.
For the first year or something like that.
Yep.
Right, but then they're going to increase it.
So we, and I don't remember the contract agreement part, but we have X amount of years that are for that price.
And it's something too to where, okay, we use it for 6 months. Oh, this is crap. We're done with you guys.
There you go.
So again, my thing is, like Michael said, it's just liability. Make sure that we have everything crossed. But at the same time, I'm still kind of like, I don't think we should be the first one in the state. I feel like we should see what other counties are thinking, other agencies are thinking, and let them kind of get on board and see, because obviously we're different than the other states that we're saying is already going on in other states.
ACLU.
This is trial lawyer I have in Washington State.
Yeah, I'm saying I agree with it as long as you use it properly, but I'm just still kind of like 50-50 right now on it. That's really where I'm at.
How about we take the other side and say, would you like to talk to the families and victims of homicides and ask them how long we should wait to identify the suspects of their?
I could take the other side of that too. And listen.
I agree with you. Yeah,
we could go down either rabbit trail.
I could do that. We could do that and talk to every single police chief within the county, and they're going to agree with you. No one's disagreeing with you on that. So
yeah. No, I'm talking about families.
No, I understand that.
The liability.
I understand that, but also at the same time, there's 200,000 people here. We're the first ones in Washington State that you guys want to go ahead and do this. We're not the first. How many law enforcement? So if you're going to do that, how many police departments are there in Washington State? How many sheriff's departments are there in Washington State? We're number one. So I got to make sure that if we're going to do this, I'm not going to go ahead and have a risk pull where we go bankrupt and we can't provide the services or provide you guys guns or trucks or cars or boats. That's a big responsibility.
Yes.
And so I don't want to blow it. So I understand your point.
I hear you.
But I got to look at that chair.
I mean, you know, for me, maybe more comfortable if you tighten up the outside agency request that, you know, I get missing persons, you know, something like that. I don't know how you tighten it up, but maybe you make me feel more comfortable that we're doing, you know, we're taking the lead. You know, why doesn't the city take the lead too with you?
Yeah.
Right? Why don't they? That and maybe, you know, put in there in the last under accountability something will be published for public on the sheriff's website or something that they can see the times it was used, you know, maybe just
types of cases.
Types of cases, yeah. You know, and was it, you know, someone identified? I mean, just simple, just so you know, the public can go on there and like, okay, this is how many times they used it, this is what they used it for. Okay, that makes sense to me, right? It's not that, you know, once your audit is done, but maybe that helps us with something with the outside agencies, you know, with their agreement, I don't know, you know, something along those lines, concerns and liability.
Those are both simple, and we'll
the liability, the liability on that, Commissioner Elvin, is pretty, you know, well, I want to say liability, but the audit is pretty simple. They're going to do an audit. Clearview is going to do an audit. Liberty is going to do an audit. It's going to be so simplistic that that's probably the least amount of worry that I have.
Oh, no, that one's.
Well, I just think, you know, the public knows that they have access.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's all we're talking about there.
Yeah.
Maybe what we can do is, you know, the commissioners can think about it a little bit more, and we can collect comments and get them back to you here pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That way, if there's any changes to be made, you can do that again.
Yeah, and like I said, I think that's one of the important things is that we don't want to start this and then have changes, you know, a month later and just restart the wheel.
Just reiterate, I support public safety. I fought hard for that, renewing that public safety sales tax and not promoting it, but educating. And I came from the Southwest after I left the Marines. And that's high crime area, right there, 30 minutes away from El Paso, right there by Juarez. I get it. There was hundreds of cars being taken across the border, all kinds of crime there. So I am strong on that. So please understand, I'm not against you guys. I'm trying to support it so we can support the entire county and all the public services. And so when you come to me and ask me, hey, we need this, this, or this, I know we can do it. And so that's, I'm taking baby steps to make sure we can do this. And like I said, I threw it out there in a local arena and those type of things as well.
You can support this and you're a politician. You don't give up your First Amendment rights when you get elected.
Welcome to the fishbowl, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk to Mr. McKay,
yeah.
Commissioner McKay. Just so you know, we already have databases and things where we have an audit trail.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a new thing to where we have oversight, people watching what you're doing. You know, we have federal databases, FBI databases, even fingerprint databases and things like that we have to keep logs.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a normal process, and it would be normal for us to add that to this system as well.
Yeah, no, I get it. And again, like when you said talk to families that have homicide stuff, I mean, I'm doing a construction job over in Pasco, and the two buildings I built got broken into, and it took the Pasco police like 4 days to identify the guy. Whereas if we had this system, it probably would have been, because we didn't have video camera, but it took a while to figure it out and stuff. And so I do see the process, but again, like you said, just we got to make sure.
Yep.
Right. And those simple thefts, that's one of the things for timely is you as a victim, you want your property back, right?
Oh yeah.
Days they're gone.
Yeah.
If I can get to that person and serve a search warrant within a day or so, there's a higher likelihood that I recover your property and get you your belongings back.
Yeah, there's about $6,000 worth stolen groceries, and then the cash registers, and then hair salon right next door got broken into. And so, I mean, I get it, speeding the process up, and also seeing, like you talked about in our meeting we had, you know, sending Cantu, I think, up to Spokane or whatever for something, you know, over time and stuff. So in the long run, it's cost savings, but yeah, just making sure we're.
And to your original question, so the contract was for 5 years at $7,500. We have the ability to back out at any point during that, but it locks them into that rate for that amount of time for us. Okay. So there you go.
Well, you know, that comment, Rami, was his name?
Yeah,
Rami.
Something like that. Yeah,
Rami.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just, you know, since I got out of his statements, he outlined some of those cases, and I haven't looked at them, but you know, I think his bottom line was that if we use it, make sure that, you know, policy and rules, regulations, whatever term you want to use, is pretty solid. So an eye is kept on that. That was what I took away from his comments. Not opposed to it, but just make sure that there's.
And to be honest with you, that's like the biggest concern I've heard from probably about 30 people I've talked to about this, is just making sure that we are using it appropriately and on it, and following policy that we do approve and get approved by everybody else and stuff. So that to me, that's the biggest concern.
And my last comment, Sheriff, is the question you said, you know, to ask those families why, then I would say pose that question as a leader in our county to every single police chief within the state of Washington, those police, mm-hmm. and those sheriffs, mm-hmm. and tell them why aren't they doing it. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know that question.
I know, too.
Well, and, you know, that invokes emotion, you know, you're trying to make policy without emotion.
I agree with you.
Emotional response will get you in trouble.
Yeah. Me. Yep.
And we need to be those leaders that show that we're able to do this.
Yep.
All right. That was a lot of information, gentlemen.
No, appreciate it.
We will let you guys mold that over and we'll get back to you and talk about the policy and how to finalize things.
Thank you.
We can't talk individually.
Right.
And maybe we'll have more workshops.
It's not a bad thing. We got to get these staff members in here, put them on the spot. And then Lieutenant Parks, are you going to be looking at the, and Sheriff, are you going to be looking at a potential interlocal agreement?
Yeah. So as far as what that wording looks like, we can probably do that on the back end. I can put it into the policy there has to be an interlocal agreement in order to use it. The policy side is really quick and easy to, by tomorrow I can have that verbiage in there. The backside interlocal agreement, we can work through that. Yeah.
And Jeff Altman from my office has been assisting them pretty closely with their policy, and we can work on any of those things together.
And Jeff's a good attorney.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe clarifying that they are, you know, an outside agency is listed to five times annually? Or
no, it's five times per month, and that's per Clearview. Yeah. So that's their restrictions.
Well, yeah. They want them to use it. That's why they.
That's 100% a business thing. Yeah. Yes.
So this is something, though, too, that we can charge them.
Tighten it up.
You know, okay, outside agency, we're charging you $5 or $25 or, you know, or per hour or whatever type thing. Yeah. I'm just curious. I don't know.
If you were able to get them to take on some of the liability, that'd be much more meaningful, probably than a small fee.
I'm looking at a CFO, right. And she's going,
yeah.
No, come on. $25, they won't put that?
Yes.
Yeah. At some point, the cost to collect that outweighs the value
at the end of the year.
I saw your eyes.
Send them a bill at the end of the year.
Thank you very much, Sheriff.
Thank you,
Lieutenant Clark. Mr. Eisinger, as always.
Thank you.